Hey, let's give them something to talk about, huh?
Definitely. How about some family?
Name of the song.
I know, I get it.
All right, you're listening to Ken Colburn, Michael Valdivia, filling in for the goofing off Brandon Disney.
Yeah. And what's he up to?
I don't know, something about before the birth of their second child, they want to get, you know, do a little, have some fun out there at Lake Havasu or something or other.
Yeah.
Okay. Wah. No commitment to excellence, no commitment to our listeners.
He
go
just
off
runs
and
off.
Frolic off and do his own thing. That's okay.
It's okay.
There, you're filling in just fine.
Thank you.
You're listening to a genealogy version of the Computer Corner. If you've never done it or if you have done it, we want to hear from you either way. 602-277-5827, or you can chime in via our website, datadoctors.com. Click on the radio show section. You'll see towards the bottom of today's resources, ask a question, make a suggestion, and we'd love to hear from all you experts out there that have been doing this for a lot longer than we've been researching it.
Yes.
Give us your tips and tricks on that. But, of course, you can also call us with your questions about whatever it is that's on your mind, like the mighty, mighty Rich in Gilbert. Rich!
Hey, how are you?
Good. Welcome to the Computer Corner. The stage
Thank
is
you.
Yours.
Well, thanks. Usually when I have a complicated computer question, I ask a 13-year-old.
Yes.
but you're it today.
Well, I've been accused of acting like a 13-year-old quite often, so I'll see if I can help you.
Well, I've got a small business, legal services business, and I've got four computers that are networked, wireless network, and you know, we generate a lot of documents, word processing documents, and obviously our own internal financial records, QuickBooks, and you know, our calendars through Outlook, things like that. So we've got probably 500 megs of
stuff,
data that is critical data to our clients and to ourselves, and we're not really set up for that eventuality of a big crash on one of these hard drives, and I've been trying to figure out how to network or how to back up, if there's some system I can set up where all of this data gets backed up regularly onto one.
Sure. Let me kind of go through the process, because you sound like you use the standard method for data integrity. I think it's like this. Is that kind of sum things up for now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of our cross our fingers 2.0, I think.
Yeah. Well, the deal is this. The first thing you have to do is identify and consolidate your data. Now, we've been doing this, this is my 15th year of helping small businesses with this exact question, and it hasn't really changed. What has changed is nobody does it. What hasn't changed is nobody does it, but the methodology is pretty much the same. The devices we use to actually back up the data have certainly changed. And that's probably, there's two things we need to talk about here, is a system or methodology that allows you to control things and understand where everything is, and then a second method of actually transferring that to a secure area so you do have you have a second copy of everything that's critical to you.
Right.
One of the reasons why, when I started this business, I called it Data Doctors instead of Computer Doctors or something like that, was, to me, it was all about the data.
Yeah.
You know, data is really what, you know, forget what we call computers, whatever, it is the data that's most important. And what you want to do, first of all, is since you have a network and you have a bunch of machines, the classic situation is you're going to have everybody saving files randomly all over the place, on local hard drives, maybe on a server sometimes. It just really depends. That's a dangerous thing to have happen. So what you really need to do is, if you know how to do this, change the default path for each of your critical applications, like Microsoft Word, Excel, your accounting program, whatever you're doing that's critical to you. Change the paths from all over the place to everybody saving in one area on one machine.
Now, believe it or not, we actually do that.
Great. Yeah, that's a good first step, because now you've identified your critical data and you know where it is.
Right.
That's the biggest problem we run into with a lot of people is like, I don't know where this stuff is.
Just save somewhere.
Well, if you don't know where it is, you can't back it up.
Yeah.
Second thing you need to do is just size up that data, which it sounds like you've done. You got about 500 meg, and that'll help you determine which method to use to do the backup. One of the dangers in creating an automated backup system is people just assume it's being done, nobody's checking it, and then we see this every single day, and I don't care how small or how big you are, we see it from very large corporations every day. We thought the backup was working.
Mm-hmm.
You should never be in a situation where you thought it was working. Somebody should be checking those backups on a regular basis. Most backup programs create a log that'll tell you what's going on. By default, most backup programs do not do what's called a data integrity check, where it actually checks the backup after it does the backup. In other words, a lot of backup systems just backs the stuff up, says I'm done, and it doesn't go back and check that backup.
To make sure.
And the reason you want to have that in there is it checks for media failure, which is very common in backup systems, whether you're using tape or disk or any of those things. If you're not checking the data against the original right at that moment, you really don't know if that data is any good.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times, again, in our recovery labs, people will bring stuff to us and say, my system crashed, but I got all my backups. Here it is. And we look at it, and the backups go back like a year and a half because they actually haven't been backing up for a year and a half.
The whole time.
But they've been putting the disks in, thinking something was happening.
Yeah.
Nobody was checking, so that's another thing. The least expensive way for you to get, if you have 500 meg of data, least expensive way is to get one of these new iOmega 750 meg zip cartridges.
Yep.
Have you seen those?
Yes.
It's a standard. It's like just a, it's a floppy disk on steroids. It's huge. It can hold up to 750 meg. You can put all of that data onto a disk every single night, or cartridge every single night.
Right.
And it's a you can start it as a manual process. You can say copy. You can verify. iOmega products come with a backup utility, so you can schedule it if you so desire. Highly recommend, however, since you're in a business, get one cartridge for each working day. Have one labeled Monday, one labeled Tuesday. And that makes it very easy for anyone to stick the proper cartridge in for that day.
Gotcha.
Okay, so you have to have redundancy because, again, we see this all the time. People say, yeah, I've been backing up.
Mm-hmm.
They've been backing up to the same cartridge for a year and a half. Every single backup they've ever done is on one cartridge. When that cartridge fails, you have no backup system.
Exactly.
If you want to really, really be somewhat, I guess, anal retentive is what I'm looking
exactly.
at here. Take two additional disks, and at the end of each month, have one marked odd, one marked even. At the end of each month, do a backup that basically is archived for that month. So now you have 5 days of backup recurring, you know, basically cycling every week. And then if something happens for some reason, you don't catch it for 5 days, you can go up to 30 and up to 60 days back with these other two cartridges.
Hmm.
So it gives you, you know, it's a fairly inexpensive insurance policy for if somebody screws up.
And you might want to think about keeping that one of those copies off-site, because if something were to happen, a tornado, whatever, but, you know, something happens to your place of business, you have that stuff backed up somewhere else.
Real common thing we get is, I had my backup in the machine. The only backup that they had was in the machine that got stolen.
Yeah.
I got broken into, they stole my server, my backups, everything were all in there. So, now that's one option. Do you have a high-speed connection on your network?
Sure do.
Okay,
yes.
You can also now take advantage of a bunch of companies out there that will rent you secured web space, so you can actually do a web-based upload, so that instantaneously gives you an off-site backup and also gives you that data integrity you're looking for.
Yeah.
For that much data?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh.
That's, as long as you have a decent high-speed connection.
Yeah.
What it does is it just does it overnight.
Yeah.
So, you don't care about when it's doing it. As long as it gets it done. And then that data becomes available to you, as long as you have the username and password, you can get it from anywhere you want.
At any time, yeah.
Yeah. Some of them are free, but for the amount of data you have, you're going to have to pay.
Right.
So that's another way to do the off-site backup. The traditional corporate method of backing up is to tape. Tape is, if you do it properly, tape is very expensive, very problematic, but it's probably the best way to do, like, large, large, large quantities. A lot of people are starting to use CD burners as backup devices. To me, if you're going to do a simple device, zip is a better way to go because CD burner, you have to stage the data before you burn it, and it takes a little longer, and all kinds of things can happen with that CD.
Yeah, I've tried the CD approach, and what I've noticed that now that I've gotten up into this 500 meg range, which fills up a CD pretty close.
Pretty close, yeah.
The backup system can't handle it for some reason. It crashes almost every time.
Yeah, because it probably, you have so many files. The number of files you have has more to do with it.
Thousands.
Right. The number of files has more to do with it than the collective data, because it has to actually cache up all the file names. That fat thing that we were talking about, the
exactly.
file allocation table, it has to like generate that first. And if that they only allocated so much memory space to be able to create that. And if you go beyond that, you know, they don't tell you that. But with CDs, it's just, you know, they're assuming you're burning a bunch of music and some but not this much stuff.
Right. Okay.
So that could be part of the problem.
Okay.
DVD
right.
burners are starting to come along. They're going to be, as a minimum, 4.7 gigabytes, so that'll give you a lot more space. But again, I don't know that that's necessarily the best way to go from a so either
not
go
now,
go
yeah.
inexpensive or go full out and get a what they call a DAT tape drive.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the two most reliable if you will, consistent and more designed for what you're trying to do. But I mean, with what you have, you should be fine with the Zip Drive for quite a while.
Well, that's great.
Okay. The other thing can do, Rich, a little, since we're on this small business training session here, manage, you need to know how much data you create a month. So at the end of every month, look at how much data is taken up in those data areas. So if it's 450 last month and it's 460 and then it's 470, you can start to get an average. Okay, I'm adding about 10 megabytes of data every month.
Right.
So now I know that, that this system is only going to work. You can project out
for so long.
And that,
exactly.
That also helps you to know, hey, you know, my empty drive space is going to last me, because that's another dangerous thing that happens with corporate networks. The data starts to stack up real quick and nobody's watching it. Suddenly your server drive is full. And when that happens, that's a dangerous situation. So there's another way to project out. Okay, I got about 18 months before I have to worry about getting another hard drive or a bigger hard drive in my system.
Right.
Okay?
All right. That's good stuff. I appreciate all the advice.
Lots to work with there, huh, Rich?
No, some good solutions. Thanks a lot.
Ray, good luck now.
Okay, take care.
That's how it works, folks. We've been doing this for a long time. Call us, small business, home user, large business, whatever you are. We'll see what we can do to help you. 602-277-5827. We're going to go to break here. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ken in Buckeye, who's got a sticky laptop mouse.
Yeah.
Back after this.
Barbecues Galore is Phoenix's barbecue headquarters.